Welcome to NPR's All Songs Considered, highlights from NPR's online music show. Enjoy.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from MasterCard, accepted worldwide. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan here in Washington, D.C. I huddle together to play DJ for us in a studio in Athens, Georgia at NPR member station WGA are three-fifths of the band, Tilly and the Wall. And if you don't know this band, this is the opening cut to their new CD, Bottoms of Barrels.
I was kidnapped real young by the sweet taste of love, built a fondness for things that just weren't good enough. I cradled the crow, always shoot off the dove, which tagged me a naive son. So the fortunate kids, yeah, they left on their lights, and they stuck up their noses and started some fights. Their parents all cackled at dirt on my hands, while my father was slaving, my mother explaining, sometimes that's just how it is. So my sister went kissing a maple skin boy, finally held up her fist, said I'm done being coy, and the neighborhood board started buzzing with joy. We finally had front page news, although it was sad I couldn't help but laugh. Such ridiculous hate in the hot summer sweat. I laid on my back, let the punk record spin. The sloppy guitar, it was shooting out stars. It all went to my heart. We cast some rainbows in the dark. So I called out danger, my friends and some strangers. They stumbled and wavered, but caught me a savior. They slit me the blood and the whole of the body, but I didn't feel the change.
Tilly and the Wall, that song's Rainbows in the Dark. Welcome, Tillys.
Thank you.
What an amazing song that is.
Oh,
it really is. Do you guys like to lead off with songs that are favorites on CDs? I often listen when I get CDs in the first cut, figuring that bands like to do that.
We had a few lists going, and why did we decide on that one?
I think it's a pretty accessible song.
I think it's the most Tilly of the songs. There are a couple songs I feel like sort of embody Tilly the best, and I think that makes sense to open a record that way.
Yeah. Kind of starts it off strong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me, if I'm looking at you, if I was in your room and looking at you from left to right so I know who's who here, Nick's going to be easy, but tell me, who's on the left there?
Well, I'm on the left, I'm Kiana, and Nick will be in the middle.
Okay. I'm in the middle, I'm Nick, I play the keyboard.
And I'm on the right, I'm Neely.
Okay, great. This helps. for the visually impaired. Today, this band from Omaha, Nebraska, they'll play DJ on All Songs Considered. They'll pick songs they love and then inspired them over the years. And, of course, those of you who have no idea who this creative and fun gang of musicians are, I'll play some of their music. And so you get to love them as much as I do. The first album is Knockout, and I figured, that's that. No, couldn't possibly do another one.
You and everybody.
It was wonderful to hear the second record. Was it hard to put together a second record with your sound? Did you find that you had lots of room to grow?
We had lots of ideas for sure.
Yeah, I think we found out who we were actually, like, as a sound. The first record was all these songs that we had all written over the years, you know, and then collaborated on. But the second record was us writing together, and so I think we all understood what our own sound was. And so I think it was actually easier to write the second record.
Yeah.
Well, in asking bands to pick music they like and to play DJ for us on All Songs Considered, sometimes in the music they pick will come these little flashes of, oh, yeah, I hear that in your band. I can see why you like
it. Like crap.
We borrowed many of ideas.
So tell me.
I like to call that inspiration.
Inspiration or appropriation's the more artful term, right? So since Neely has a cold, how about you? You pick me a song that you love and tell me why you want to play this.
Okay. Well, I chose Kiss Off by the Violent Femmes. Just because it's my favorite combination of something that's really poppy and really tough. And the first time I heard it, I was at a party feeling awkward, and a bunch of our friends went out to a car, and we're just hanging out in the car, and somebody put that in, and I'd never heard it before, and I thought it was so amazing. And
they do have
the
a
more
great
I
energy.
Listened to the and the more I listened to it, you know, you just can't help but like kind of bop your head around to it, and it was something I'd, you know, we'd never heard on the radio, so it was kind of like our own little special secret that just my friends knew about, and that just meant so much to us. And I don't know, it just has like such good attitude, and so it just reminds me of just being young and youthful, and it's just so tough and just such a great song. So that's why I chose it.
Yeah, well, let's listen to the Violent Femmes. Song's called "Kiss Off."
I need someone, a person to talk to, someone who cares to love. Could it be you? Could it be you? Situation gets rough, then I start to panic. It's not enough. It's just a habit, a kid, you're sick. Well, darling, this is it. You can all just kiss off into the air. Behind my back, I can see them stare. They'll hurt me bad, but I won't mind. They'll hurt me bad, they do it all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they do it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it all the time. They do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
They do it all the time. I hope you know that this will go down on your permanent record. Oh yeah? Well, don't get so distressed. Did I happen to mention that I'm impressed?
Violent Femmes. They're from Milwaukee, right? Was that somewhere they were from? Milwaukee?
I'm not really sure.
I
don't
know
from
where
Milwaukee.
They're from. What year would you have heard this?
So I was in junior high.
So you might have been
I graduated in 92.
Okay. So it was probably the late 80s?
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah. I think that's right.
That whole first album, did you ever pick up the whole record?
Yeah.
That whole first record is a fantastic record.
It is. We actually did a cover show a couple years back, and we covered that song as well. It was just so fun to get that opportunity to sing that song.
I'll play something for you that I heard. I was thinking about cover tunes and you all, and I had this in my collection. I have no idea where it came from, and I hope it's not too embarrassing. So
no.
Let's hear it. Get to the chorus.
That's my favorite part, Derek.
I'll tell you, it sounds better than I remember. I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's true. I wasn't too embarrassed.
Do you remember? Do you do covers on occasion? You say you did a cover show. Is that from that show? What is it?
We didn't do it during that show, actually.
No, it's not that show. The cover show we actually decided to do because we had played in Omaha recently in a band that we really liked of Montreal.
Actually from Athens, yeah. Where we are.
Yep. Asked us if we wanted to play with them, and so we decided to do something a little different for the show.
Well, we couldn't pass it up because we love off Montreal so much, but we had just played a month before or something. We're like, well, the only way this makes sense is if we do something really different.
So we all kind of sat down and chose
we crammed.
Our favorite songs.
We crammed for a month.
So what else did you play? Do you remember?
We did World Before Columbus,
which was a Suzanne Vega song.
We did Kiss Off, like I had mentioned before.
Right?
Uh-huh.
We did an Elliott Smith song.
We did a Blonde Redhead song.
We did Run Around Sue, which was hilarious.
way more embarrassing than that.
We were practicing that. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in my life.
Oh, my God.
So funny.
We had a few.
Do you listen to any music that comes from that pre British invasion stuff, any of those, either the girl groups or some of the American pop music from the early 60s. And you mentioned Run Around Sue.
I love like the Shangri-Las and Ronettes and that whole kind of vibe.
Nick's got me into that because I ripped his iPod. So now I also have all those on my iPod. Those are some great, but I didn't listen to them before. I listened to more like 50s, I feel like, with my dad and mom growing up. But yeah.
And I think we've all been discovering some of the joys of Elvis too.
Totally.
Which is nice.
See, my dad is, that's his guy.
Is it?
Through my whole like younger years, but.
Are you all in late 20s, early 30s? Is that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Nick actually is 24, so we're still on the cusp.
When you talked about, and any of you could join in on this, the idea of having a band that's your own secret, I love that. And so there must be this thing for a band to wanting to be known by more people as yourselves, you know, just coming up. And then also kind of need to be this your own this secret band. Do you find yourself, which place do you find yourself in right now as a band?
I think we're still definitely a secret band.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's what's cool about that in playing gigs? What do you find about that?
People are so dedicated to
you. Yeah, definitely. You find that like hardcore like group of Tilly, I like to call them Tilly kids. They're like the coolest people ever, you know, and they are just like this weird like small group of people right now anyway. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
You have any secret bands these days?
It's hard to say. I feel like every band I've liked, I don't know, has been
Nick is very
uncovered he's into obscure in some way or another, you know.
The Blacklips, though, I think is, I mean, personally.
Definitely up and coming. Yeah. They're from friends of mine and Derek's from high school in Georgia. And
I think right now they're still a really dark secret.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them so cool. But I hope that one day everybody knows. I think they're going to be the biggest band in the world.
Wow. That says a lot.
It's been crazy because we've seen so many kids at shows that have their shirt on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, they know the secret too.
Who wants to take the next pick here?
Well, I chose a Porta Static song called Impolite Cheers from the album The Nature of Sap, which I picked up, I'm guessing in 99 or 2000. It was around the time that I was leaving high school, starting college. And it has so many memories for me of this like transition into finding music that's not everywhere, it's not on the radio. And it's also, I feel like the message behind the song is really important to me, like the whole idea that you could be a weirdo and it wouldn't be a drag, like a positive way,
totally.
You know, embracing just difference in the world.
This is Impolite Cheers is what you wanted to hear?
Yes,
from
thank
you. From a CD called The Nature of Sap, Porta Static. Just so everybody knows, we'll put the whole songs on the website so you can listen to them. But in order to get a whole lot of music in, have a nice conversation with these folks standing in Athens, Georgia, or sitting in Athens, Georgia, Tilly and the Wall, I thought we'd play, you know, a good taste of it. And I could actually hear that being a song that you guys might want to sing, or it's certainly got the spirit of your band now, you think?
Right.
I've never heard that song until right then. But I liked it.
Yeah,
it's a great song. So I feel like some of the similarities are just that even the opening line, don't you listen when they say listen.
Right.
I feel like it's just something that we always come back to as a
totally
band.
Totally a good line.
Just the idea of following your own intuition to whatever end.
Yeah, there is a comforting little stories and stuff that happen in your songs and the characters. How do your songs come to be?
Well, Derek, I'd say, writes the majority of our songs. Mm-hmm. But we all five write songs, which makes it interesting, right, songwriting-wise. But what it is usually, like, if Neely has a song, she's like, I have this song, and she'll sit down and sort of sing us the song. You know, so it's like Neely's song and her words. And then everybody sort of, like, Nick does his job and writes a keyboard part, and Neely sometimes like, well, I was thinking the sound would more be like this, and he's like, okay, and I will try, like, a harmony part or whatever, like, write a bass line, and everybody just sort of works like that, and we all know each other really, really well at this point and trust each other, so usually it works out pretty quickly.
It's interesting, too, because each person who brings a song, like, each person in the band plays it a different instrument, so mm-hmm. they bring it on a different instrument, so we're
it's
always
really weird
approaching things from different angles,
right,
which I like.
Right.
What would be if I pulled a song off of the new record, what would be a good example of a song that took shape in that form, or are they all that way?
The two songs that stand out to me as the biggest collaborations on the album are Bad Education and Brave Day.
Totally.
To me, the way those came about from the skeleton that was brought to the table was really nice, just how much they've changed. I really like that.
And even a lot of times the lyrics are intact by the time they get there, but
for
that
sure.
was one of the ones where, like, Derek brought that song and we all wrote the lyrics in that song. So that is one of those times that did happen. That's a good example.
Okay, take a vote. If I play Bad Education, how many votes do I get versus Brave Day?
Oh, I would say Bad Education for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's the more exhilarating song.
Okay. That's a good one. Flamenco, for sure.
Yeah, that one's, I think, yeah. That one's fun to listen to, I feel like, just because it has all these weird qualities to it.
Song's Bad Education from the CD Bottoms and Barrels, the new Tilly and the Wall record. I have 3/5 of Tilly and the Wall standing in a studio, sitting in a studio in Athens, Georgia, and playing DJ Kiana. It's your turn. Pick
Yay.
Me a song.
I picked Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. From the album Nevermind,
can't
which I'm sure
it.
None of you need me to tell you. And this one I picked because, you know, and I heard this, I think, when I was a freshman in high school, and I had already discovered sort of that music that no one else had heard, and, you know, everybody at my junior high, all the boys were listening to, like, the Sex Pistols and the Dead Milkmen and, like, the Violent Femmes and everybody, so that was sort of what we were rocking out to, and that was some, like, great punk rock music, but when I heard that, I think I actually probably saw the video first. It was just like, I had never heard anything like that. Like, it rocked so hard. I was just like, this is totally me. This is my song. You know, and I'm sure like 6 million people at the same moment were like thinking the exact same thing. And that's why it was such a big deal. Like, it opened all these minds to like just the coolest thing that had never been done before. And I'm sure it was just like punk in the early 80s or, you know, rap to the people that found rap at that time, but that music to me was like truly rocking out. And to this day, like, I love harder rock, you know, because I think.
But you're in a band that isn't guitar based. I mean, you guys rock in a different way, and it moves. It has really fast motion. Your music does, but it isn't. I wouldn't put your music on and looking for the same mood I would if I wanted to, as I would at Nirvana. Totally different.
No, but they were definitely like oddballs. Those guys were like so different. You know what I mean? They were just doing something different. I feel like we are too. You know, I think we're doing something a little bit different. That's I guess what I mean.
Let's listen to the song that we all know and love. Smells like Teen Spirit. Much more you could say about that song that hasn't been said, it sounds good every single time.
It does.
It just doesn't
still
matter, does it?
Mm-mm.
Do you think your music could do that in 10 years? Somebody put it on.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I could say that, you know.
Yeah,
that,
how do you ask a band that question?
That's true.
Oh, God. Especially with a band like that. I mean, they're just so epic.
I guess it's something you dream and hope for. It's not something you can say.
We barely dream over that. That would be amazing. I'll say that.
To change one person's life is good enough for us.
Totally. That's the thing with Nirvana. They change, like, so many people's lives. And if we can just have 100th of that, that's amazing. Yeah. Just to touch someone.
So you're 24. Where does Elvis come in to someone who's 24? I mean, you know, most radio stations and oldie stations will play it. That's about it. Do you listen to oldie stations, or where do you find your Elvis?
I do, but the thing is, the way I'd always perceived Elvis growing up was in this vaguely negative light, and I was never really excited by what he did. It always had this strange, strange feeling of, like, maybe he, like, took the place of some other artist that could have been in his stead. There were just all these different things I heard surrounding
Couldn't figure
Elvis.
Out why people liked him so much is probably maybe another way to put it.
He was, huge figure.
Right.
He was a huge figure. He was one of the ones.
Just sitting in the Waffle House and, like, 15, 16, 17, I remember Blue Christmas. Every Christmas would come on over and over again. And one day I was like, this is beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. His voice just touched me. And,
totally.
And I think the song I would like to play is called his version of Blue Moon, which I think is just incredible.
Blue Moon. You saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying,
someone I really could care for.
So that's Elvis Presley's Blue Moon. Where did you first hear Blue Moon?
I was sitting in my friend Jiha's apartment in Chicago, and it was probably about 3 or 4 in the morning after we'd played a gig, and we're just sitting on her bed reminiscing about our old times in Georgia together, and she's like, I have this, I borrowed this old record, this beautiful version of Elvis's Blue Moon that you have to hear, and she played it for me, and we just sat in silence and listened to it. It was amazing.
Who wants to take the next pick?
Well, the Pixies, I just was totally drawn into how strange and weird and so cool it was, and sort of the same vein as the Violent Femmes. And also the same as the Violent Femmes, the bass playing to me was sort of, it opened my eyes as to, like, different instruments and just, like, the styles that people have. And I actually told my dad that I got asked to be in a band, although I'd never been asked to be in a band and didn't know how to play any instruments. And I was like, they asked me to play the bass, Dad. So can I get a bass? And he, I am an only child and I am a girl and I'm a daddy's girl. So he took me and we got a $99 bass.
How old were you?
I was 14 or 15. And we got a bass and I learned that entire album. And it turned out I was pretty good at learning from hearing. So from then on, I learned every album that I loved. And so that was the first time I played the bass, and I still play the bass today in Tilly.
Terrific. Let's listen to the Pixies' Wave of Mutilation from the album Doolittle. Pixies, that's a 1988 record, the CDs or LP. It may have been an LP, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called Doolittle.
That was so fun just to hear that little bit. They were so punk rock. I love them.
So is there any song that you can think of in thinking about music to play that everybody in this band agrees is the band that they'd like to listen to when you're on your... Do you tour in a van?
Mm-hmm.
And who gets to pick the music in the van?
The driver.
The driver is the DJ.
That's good. And yeah. Do you all share the driving?
We do.
Oh, good. So is there any one thing that everybody would agree would be the piece of music they'd like to hear for Tilly?
Definitely The Cure.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's like a common ground.
What is it about Tilly. The Cure? And what period Cure? Because they sure went through a lot of stuff.
I think every period
all
for The Cure.
Wow.
The Cure is one of those things that's just like, he can't write a bad song. Like, it's just, it's good. It's a good song.
Their spirit is just so in the right place.
It is. It's true. I think that's something that we really identify with is positivity and just that, like, pure, like, pop song. It's so good.
So pick me a song from The Cure.
So we're going to play Jumping Someone Else's Train by The Cure, and it's a song that's very dear to our guitar player, Derek's heart. And this is what he had to say about it. He found it, quote, inspiring because it is all about being an individual and how people all want to be the same and how silly that is, end quote.
It's from the album Boys Don't Cry. Let's listen to The Cure. We'll be right back.
crowd, you won't leave any trace. It's always the same, you jump in someone else's train. It won't take you long to learn the new smile. You have to adapt or you'll be out of style. It's always the same, you jump in someone else's train.
Well, this was fun. Nice list of songs. Thanks,
oh,
everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
we've
you
had
so
a great
much.
Time.
Good. I'm going to go home actually and pull my record of the first Violent Femmes album and put it on.
Sweet. You're going to have a great night.
I am. This is going to be great. Thanks perfect. For doing this from NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan.
Thanks for listening. You'll find more about this program and a listing of NPR stations online at npr.org.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 7-passenger MDX with electronic 4-wheel drive and traction control. Information at Acura.com.